Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into some excerpts from Loss, Love, and Marriage. Mm-hmm. And our mission really is to sort of unpack the themes running through them, searching, finding love, and, well, celebrating it.
Right. And we've got these two quite different sections to work with.
Exactly. One feels very personal, this nighttime search for someone, and the other is, you know, much more public, a big royal wedding procession. So quite a contrast.
Definitely. It's that jump from the private internal feeling to this very external communal event that's interesting.
Okay, so let's dive into that first part then, the personal search.
Right.
The speaker seems really agitated, searching at night for him whom my soul loves. And that phrase repeats, doesn't it? I saw him, but I did not find him.
It does. That repetition really hammers home the intensity of the feeling, the longing. It's not casual.
No, not at all. And then there's this decision, right? I will rise now and go about the city, searching the streets, the squares. It's active.
Very determined. Not just waiting around, but actively going out to find this person. There's a real drive there.
And then the encounter with the watchman, it feels a bit vulnerable, asking them, him whom my soul loves, have you seen him?
Yeah, like putting that deep feeling out there, asking for help in the darkness. It's quite poignant.
And what happens next is so quick.
Right. Hardly had I left them when I found him whom my soul loves. It's almost immediate.
Like the act of asking, of searching so intently, just boom, leaves to the result.
Exactly. It's like maybe vocalizing the need or just that final push of effort tipped the scales.
And the response is just pure possession, isn't it? I held him and would not let him go.
Total relief and, possessiveness.
Yeah.
And wanting to bring him back somewhere safe, secure the mother's house, the chamber of her who conceived me.
That feels significant, that specific location, like bringing the found love into the family fold, maybe?
Could be. Receiving that foundational security or perhaps, a blessing or acceptance from the origin, the mother figure.
Which then leads into this slightly mysterious bit, the adjuration to the daughters of Jerusalem.
Ah, yes. Do not awaken or stir up love until it is ready. Using the gazelles and does as imagery.
So what's that really saying? Like a warning?
Maybe less a warning and more advice. A plea, perhaps?
Yeah.
Like, look, love is powerful. It's wonderful. But it's also delicate. Like those animals. You can't force it.
Let it happen in its own time. Don't rush it.
Precisely. Let it wake up when it's ready. It has its own rhythm.
Okay. So holding that thought, then we get this massive shift in scene and tone.
Oh, yeah. Total change. Suddenly we're outside in the desert and something grand is approaching.
Solomon's wedding procession coming up from the desert like columns of smoke. That's some entrance.
And it's very dramatic.
Yeah.
Perfumed with myrrh, frankincense, all the expensive scents. It's designed to impress. Sensory overload almost.
Definitely. And the focus goes to Solomon's litter, his carriage. It's not just him. It's this whole protective detail. 60 men.
60 valiant men, skilled with swords, ready for nighttime terrors. It speaks to the value of who's inside, the need for protection. This is royalty.
And the description of the litter itself, wood from Lebanon. Silver columns, gold roof, purple seat.
Uh-huh. All the best materials, meticulously crafted, the inside lovingly fitted. It's pure opulence, a statement of status and wealth.
It's a public spectacle. And then there's another address to the daughters of Jerusalem.
Right, but this time it's an invitation. Come out and look upon King Solomon.
Witness him wearing his crown, the one his mother gave him for his wedding day, the day of the joy of his heart.
So from the private warning about not rushing love, now it's a public call to come and celebrate this love, this union, this joy.
It's the culmination presented for everyone to see. This isn't a hidden feeling anymore. It's being proclaimed.
Exactly. It's the public affirmation of the private bond, a community celebration.
So looking back, we've journeyed from that intense, quite lonely search in the dark.
Mm-hmm, that deep personal quest.
All the way to this dazzling public display of union and royal celebration.
It really covers two fundamental aspects of love, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The inner world of longing and finding and the outer world of commitment and, well, showing up together.
The private heart and the public statement, it's quite a powerful pairing.
It really is, which kind of leaves you with something to think about.
Go on.
Well, just consider how these ancient ways of talking about love, the desperate search, the joy of finding, the big public celebration, how do they echo or maybe even contrast with how you experience or think about love and commitment today? Are these fundamental human things still expressed in similar or maybe totally different ways now?